are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody, and returning with me today is friend, regular guest, excellent presenter, got wonderful website, so much knowledge, Dr. Eric Karlstrom, and we're going to continue our series, Structure is Strategy in Slow Motion, How the Jewish Criminal Syndicate Controls the United States. This is part six. We're going to continue with the K. Griggs revelations. I'm going to bring Eric up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, hi, Andy. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, it's always nice. Thank you. Always nice to have you on the program. And so what do you want to, of course, the last show went out a couple of weeks ago, part five. And so what have you got for us? Where would you like to start us off today?
Well, you know, I transcribed about 13 hours of interviews that this lady Kay Griggs did. And it's on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website. It's also on my 911nwo.com website under the title of Kay Griggs, Ex-Military Wife Interviews, U.S. Military is a Mind Control Operation Run by Sexual Deviants, Homosexuals, Bisexuals, Pedophiles. And then I kind of extracted some of that information to make another post called Who and What is the Brotherhood, the Firm, the Syndicate? How does it and their organized stalking system work? Highlights from the Kay Griggs interviews of 1998-2005. So the basic story here, Andy, just to I think we can mine this for some important information. This lady gave a series of interviews to a Reverend Rick Strawcutter, I believe in Minnesota, in 1998. She was afraid for her life. She was being gang stalked. She's the ex-husband of Princeton graduate, Marine Corps Colonel George Griggs, who she was married to for 11 years. George Griggs was, she says, well, he's a robot, except for when he drinks. And I believe she believes that he was MK Ultra mind controlled, but he was also, you know, maybe a bit like a Jason Bourne figure. He was also a super soldier. He was an assassin for the government. He did lots and lots of wet ops, black ops, special ops. He worked for the Marines, for the Army, and Kay Griggs makes the point that these guys wear many hats, and they have, just like the Jason Bourne interviews, they have a number of passports, a number of identities. She even wondered if he had a clone. But this guy spilled the beans so much when the early part of their marriage, when he was drunk, which was often, very often, and that you might say that these interviews are kind of like a secondhand confession of his. And she says he's a gross perpetrator of the gang stalking things because he targeted her as well as his military colleagues. And she then had to fight for her life because she was being targeted by these special ops people. And a very, very smart lady. She figured it out. She found the Army manuals that had to do with information and electronic warfare. She found one, interestingly enough, at a Goodwill store. She lived in Norfolk, Virginia. And Kay Griggs is an exceptional individual because she's a descendant of James Madison, the author of the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. And she had a master's, has, I presume she's still alive, a master's and a bachelor's in history from a very, very distinguished Virginia family, not dumb, not shy. And she herself is a political insider. Then she married this Princeton graduate, Marine Corps colonel that she believed was, like members of her family who were also Princeton graduates. And she found out that this guy had a lot of baggage. And the information that he told her really is, how does the shadow government work in the United States? Because he was part of it. He was connected at the highest levels with the Princeton crowd, which, included many major figures in the government. I think we discussed last week, you know, people like General Haig, who was, you know, a White House chief of staff under Nixon, I believe, and people like Henry Kissinger, who, of course, was has been in many administrations in very high roles, you know, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor under different presidents. Basically the Illuminati agentur, Henry Kissinger would have to be one of the major ones of the 20th and 21st century. So this was his crowd. And he was friends with these people. And yet he was also doing all these hits. And she said this crowd was comprised mostly of existentialists who just looked at it as a job, and they didn't really believe it was killing because they didn't have any emotion about it. It was like killing, you know, rodents or something, you know, well, this person has to be got out of the way. And so she divulges so many of the operations and the names of the people who carried out the operations and the structure of the syndicate, which is a criminal cabal, no doubt, that has been running the United States. Now, she did this 1998 interview, 8 hours with Reverend Rick Strawcutter. I've got it posted. I've got it transcribed. I recommend that people go there. If they go to my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, they can go under gang stalking, which is the first category to the left, and scroll down a couple posts. And there's Kay Griggs, again, ex-military wife interviews, U.S. military is a mind control operation run by sexual deviants. And also, again, on my 911.nwo.com, we're really talking about the New World Order. We're talking about the shadow government. We're talking about how things really work. And so while we have, of course, a duly elected government, you know, which kind of has the facade of a constitutionally functioning republic, in fact, there are networks of individuals, not that many, according to Kay Griggs, who are in control and who enforce their control, you know, through murder, Murder Incorporated. One interesting revelation, Andy, is that she says it's really mostly the military. The CIA has been getting the rap for the, you know, for all the, you know, shenanigans. But she says, as far as her experience goes, it's the military. I would, you know, differ based on my own research, but certainly she was an insider. So we have to take her viewpoint seriously. So from the interview, we learned things like at the highest levels, the army and the military are partnered with the Brooklyn, New Jersey mob, you know, that goes back to Meyer Lansky, you know, who's head of the Jewish mob, which is head of all the mobs and always has been in the United States. Although we like to talk about, you know, the Sicilians and, you know, the Godfather and all that stuff, they in the pecking order, they would not be at the highest levels, according to Kay. She says the ports are run by these guys, and it's also a homosexual hierarchy. She says that the skull and bones induction methods, which perhaps some of your listeners know, which is to take these maybe 15 Yale male students every year and induct them into this highly prestigious secret society. And they get inducted in a ceremony in the tomb, and it's a satanic initiation, really, which involves homosexual activity normally, and, you know, I guess, I don't know, chanting. It's pretty out there. But the bottom line is that the skull and bones men, who, you know, maybe there's only like 300 or 400 in America today, go on to become a network that is extremely powerful, you know, in controlling business and politics and military, et cetera, in America. And it's basically a satanic society. They call themselves the Order of Death, much like the Illuminati, which is probably the parent secret society, which is also called the Order of Death. And Skull and Bones would be chapter 322 of the Illuminati, which was founded, I think, back in the 1832 or something like that. So this is an old establishment group, but it's deeply connected to the Illuminati, which, as we know, is a extremely powerful Jewish secret society. And and of course would have links then to, you know, the international bankers and the very top people who control things, who create the wars, who profit from the wars, etc. And of course, this pattern goes back, as you know, for hundreds of years. And, you know, we've done a lot of spade work, you know, people like yourself and myself and many others that we reference. And it does seem to be, a long-term plan, some say a 3,000-year plan for world takeover by this particular tribe. So it has, you know, various iterations and, you know, many faces come up over time, but the plan is always the same, which is to take over the world for the chosen ones who believe that they are gods on earth and that all other humans are mere beasts and cattle. And of course that runs through their sacred Talmud teachings as well as the Kabbalah. And they've been educated into this, these notions, you know, this is what gives it the multi-generational, multi-century legs and staying power that had me mystified for a number of years. Like, you know, how can this thing keep going from generation to generation?
That's well, it is safe. Sorry to jump in, Eric, but I was going to ask you quickly, have you noticed really even in the last year how much they've accelerated their program, almost as if they feel that they've got to get it in place within a certain amount of time?
Absolutely. You know, and Maurice Strong, who was the, committee of 300 Canadian, who was very closely allied with the United Nations and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, and, as is credited for writing Agenda 21, Agenda 20 for the 21st century for the UN, he was giving speeches in my neck of the woods, which is the San Luis Valley of Southern Colorado. He tried to co-opt all the you know, billions and maybe even trillions of dollars of worth of fresh water here, and, you know, profit with his little group. That didn't work. But he made statements back in the 1980s, late 80s, when they were planning the whole Rio Earth Summit push to remodel the politics of the world along UN lines so that UN can be the prototypical world government. He would say things like, we've got to get this done by 2012. And, he's quoted, you can see him saying it. And there is a lot of a pressure from the top to get the world into this new world order fast, I think. And particularly because the word's getting out, and as you've been a help on that with your book, and big help, and many others have been working very hard, usually without a lot of money to show for it, because the system that makes the money is not going to support this activity. Do you have anything to say about that, Andy? Your thoughts on the pressure to get it done?
Well, I think I like what you just said about Maurice Strong saying he wanted it all in place by 2012, because they are running behind. And when you look at things like the FEMA camps, they're there for somebody. They're not there for illegal aliens, because they're not being put in there. We can, I think it's very easy for us to work out who they're actually there for. People have even come out recently and, some of this group, I was listening to Rick Adams' show recently, an art from Philly who's on there a lot. He actually said that a guy from ADL, B'nai B'rith, said to him, you're going to be one of the first in the camps when we get complete control. And that's what I think that they're pushing for now. And that's why they're trying to roll out all these definitions of anti-Semitism and stuff like that. So then they can have carte blanche to round up the remaining handfuls of people that are aware of their plan, so they can shut us up permanently.
Yeah, you know, one of the guys that I've read, there's a guy named Russ Dizdar, who's a pastor who has been, you know, really working on trying to counter the influence of Satanism in America since the, the mid-1980s. And he has done a lot of work with the victims mind control, who have been put through various satanic ritual abuse, MK Ultra type programs. He estimates 10 million satanic super soldiers in the United States and 100 million in the world. Now, that, you know, I have no way of knowing if that's correct, but I know that those numbers are similar to what other pastors put out, like I think Fritz Springmeier puts those numbers out, and I think a guy named Bailey puts those numbers out. But they're estimates for sure. But he makes, in one of the YouTube presentations that he's just made this year, he reveals that the targets of the satanic super soldiers are the New World Order resistors. And so, of course, that would be you and me. And these would also be the targets of gang stalking operations. And now we can start to see who's, you know, there's multiple groups behind the gang stalking operations. But based on the Kay Griggs interviews, we know that the U.S. military is heavily involved because they're the ones that did it to her. So she was the targeted individual. Her husband was a perpetrator and his colleagues were perpetrators. She understood how the system worked and what it was for. And she understood the basics structure of the secret government, which again comes down to certain names, people doing certain operations and getting kickbacks, and this partnership really at the highest levels between individuals in the military and the mob, which of course is Jewish controlled. And this comes down, filters down to lower levels where she would talk about these hit teams of two, one Marine from America and one Israeli, and they're usually homosexuals called flamers, and they would go out and, you know, do these hits, these jobs, these wet ops, murders, and that's how it's done. And then, of course, she gives the names of the people over the years who've been hit like this. They love to, you know, take down airplanes, you know, like Paul Wellstone and his family were taken down in an airplane, and Ashcroft's opponent for the governorship of wherever he is, Missouri, just before the 2000 election, was Carnahan, I think, was offed in that manner. Many others. She reveals the names, and so now with the Kay Griggs interviews, we get you know, just an incredible wealth of insider information that I think is very important. These are criminals. This is a criminal syndicate. If law and order were to be restored in America, we would prosecute these criminals. Now, these happen to include many generals, you know, who did operations like, as we mentioned last time, like Oklahoma City, you know. And of course, the FBI was behind the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1995, which allowed them to get the plans to the building so they could go ahead and plan 2001 later. But always Israelis are involved in these operations. They're always meeting with the Marines in Quantico Marine Corps base every day with the FBI and the CIA. The State Department is highly involved. She revealed that the entire Mideast section of the State Department wears, you know, yarmulkes and has maps of Israel on their head. On their wall, yarmulkes on their head and maps of Israel on their wall. Excuse me. Maybe they do it the other way sometime just for fun. I don't know. But they control the State Department and they control the sale of these illegal weapons and drugs. And that's the funny money that keeps the whole thing going for a long time, going back to the Vietnam War and before. Certainly, we know that was the main, one of the main reasons for invading Afghanistan. And it was one of the main sideshows of the Vietnam War was, you know, the sale of heroin and a lot of money to be made there. And the military and the mob are teamed up in that. And certain individuals, you know, who will play by the rules, their rules, get to be leaders of this very, very, very corrupt system. So America, one of the reasons I think they need to get this thing done is, you know, interviews like Kay Griggs show that how corrupt things are. We're in a position now where, okay, if we know what's going on and we don't do something about it, we've got to bang down the walls now to get this information out, to get the American people to realize that the their leaders are not working for the American people. I think most Americans now have that sense, but they still are kind of, you know, in a sense of denial, a little bit like ostriches with their heads in the sand about how things work. And they have all these kind of narratives in the back of their brain, you know, which keep their mental worldview in a certain place. Like I was just talking to an old friend recently, and you know, he was saying how, you know, why do people question the Holocaust? You know, why do they question the Jewish Holocaust? Well, if, you know, it's just one of those pillars of his worldview that is very difficult to change or to knock down. I think that's very common, but I think it is changing.
I think that the reason that they don't like it, though, is we heard recently that in Germany they've just increased their Holocaust reparations by 88 million. So that's an increase of 88 million a year. Now, surely these people, you'd be reducing it every year because more and more of them would be dying off. So there wouldn't be so many people to pay reparations to. It shouldn't be going up. And so I think that Norman Finkelstein, a Jew, wrote about the Holocaust industry. And I'd be very interested to know what amount of money is being paid. And I don't believe it's just being paid by Germany. I think other countries would be paying it. So that's something that would need to be looked into. And then we can see exactly how much money is being made out of it. And on top of that, of course, it gives them the eternal tag of being persecuted. And so that allows them to justify not only their persecution of the Palestinians, but to call anyone who criticises their behaviour in controlling banking, the media, politicians, etc., as anti-Semites and Nazis and the new Hitler and all this sort of garbage. And that's how they've always gotten away with it. And there was a woman on Israeli TV, she was on American TV. You might have seen the interview where she says, asked about anti-Semitism. She said, "It's a trick. We always use it." She's got this really strange voice. And she says, yeah, whenever anyone criticises the actions of Israel, we just say they're anti-Semitic and remember the Holocaust. It's just a trick that they use to allow them to make people feel guilty about criticising their behaviour. And as a result, they can get away with anything.
Yeah, well, you've nailed it, of course. And always this insistence on being the victim. Well, this takes, of course, a lot of organization and pre-planning. I mean, what is terrorism if not? Terrorism is the use of violence or the threat of the use of violence to subdue domestic populations into submission. And in 1979, Benjamin Netanyahu led the first conference on international terrorism in Jerusalem. And terrorism now was defined in a narrow sense. Terrorism henceforth was going to be referencing Arab terrorism against the West, Arab terrorism against Israel, Arab terrorism against the United States and other Western countries. It was not going to refer to the terrorism of Israel against the Palestinians, which of course is much, 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 much greater, or the terrorism of the United States against the many countries that we're doing unconventional warfare in, 134 at the moment. And then that's in addition to our hot wars, you know, I don't know, maybe four or five right now. So there has been an Orwellian usurpation of the language. If you want to know, there's a book by Iqbal Ahmed called Confronting Empire, and he identifies five times kinds of terrorism. And he says state-sponsored terrorism, which is by far the largest, is at least 1,000 times more well-funded and more effective and with more personnel than, say, the terrorism of the small private group. But what they've done with the help of the media is the perception that, you know, these Palestinians throwing rocks at their Israeli torturers are the problem. And, you know, this takes enormous, it is propaganda, of course. These are lies. These are narratives. These are, you know, but if you repeat the lie often enough, you know. And so, in fact, gang stalking is terrorism. It is torture. It is terrorism. And it is state-sponsored terrorism. But because we don't control the usage of the language, we, that is to say, we who are targeted individuals, We almost have to insist that it be used correctly. When Confucius was asked, you know, what do we do to fix all the problems of ancient China? He said, rectify the language. Well, we need to rectify the language. What the United States policy is terrorism, which is 9/11 was trauma-based mind control and terrorism, synthetic, a false flag, blamed on the Arabs. Done by Israel and the United States. You know, we've proven that, you know, a thousand ways. It's on my website, 911nwo.com. It's in many, many books. It's in many, many videos. That narrative that Osama bin Laden did it, that was the conclusion of the 9/11 commission and the press within 1 hour of the actual attacks on the day of September 11th. And guess who was the CEO or the executive director of the 9/11 Commission report? A guy named Philip Zelikow. I think we mentioned earlier he had gotten a master's in Harvard at public myth making. Well, we have to watch out for the myths of the Jews. And of course, the Nazi term for that is worldview warfare. This is the science of coercion. You create these huge lies, and then you get the people believing them. So the war on terror is one such, one of the biggest lies in American history. And yet that is basically propping up the American economy now between all the foreign wars, which are justified by that, which keeps the military industrial complex happy, and all the domestic wars going after the dissidents at home. This is all based on this false narrative of the war on terrorism. And likewise, 9/11, of course, biggest lie in American history. Likewise, of course, global warming, man-caused global warming, biggest lie. And we've got so many biggest lies now in America. We almost have to, you know, we have to keep pounding down these flimsy paper walls here with the facts. And I think we're doing it. We're, you know, a little at a time. But the Kay Griggs interviews are great because here is a very classy lady. She's a Christian lady. She actually wanted to convert her psychopathic husband to Christianity. She spent years trying. He almost killed her. Her life was saved by the senior White House correspondent, Sarah McClendon, who was a White House correspondent between the era of Roosevelt to Clinton, who died in her 90s and served for 40 years as a White House or 50 years as a White House correspondent. And Sarah believed her story. So Sarah was no dummy either. And she believed Kay Griggs' story. I believe Kay Griggs' story because it lines up with so much other information that I've had a chance to go through. So, you know, if you want to know how things work, watch the Kay Griggs interviews, read my transcriptions, spend a little time with it. You know, I mean, listening to us talk is maybe a good introduction. But, you know, I'm suggesting that individuals who have an interest in these things, you know, start digging in and then sharing the information on your own as best you can, because I think there is much at stake now. These people want to bring in this Jewish New World Order, which is the Jewish Universal Empire, in which, Goyim are going to be enslaved and exterminated. You talk about, you know, the money for the reparations for the Holocaust. There's $175 billion a year being spent now, I think it's globally, on mind control. These guys have been working on mind control since World War II. We should talk about this in the future, Andy, because I've researched it. You know, MKUltra of the CIA, the Nazis' marionette programming, having to do with the paperclip Nazis if they have these satanic super soldiers that can be triggered, this would explain who a lot of the perpetrators are worldwide. These very, very dark, kind of psychopathic type people who will torment and torture their fellow citizens, maybe on command, or maybe they're under mind control as they're doing it, which is what Brian Coffran, who's an insider who worked with SIS in Seattle, has got some interviews that I've got up on my website. And he says, yeah, the mind control is being directed at the perps and it's being directed at the targets. So there's an enormous attempt to robotize and transhumanize and merge the mind of humans with computers. And this has been, you know, envisioned by our, you know, leaders, you know, since World War II. with people like Dr. Norbert Wiener, a Jew. And of course, it's being promoted now by Dr. Ray Kurzweil, another Jew. So these people have this goal of assuring their own immortality by, you know, loading in, you know, a lot of minds and encyclopedias and whatnot on these little computer chips and then putting them in their brains and then robotizing their bodies so that they live forever. And it's just like the Garden of Eden, you know, where the serpent says, oh, you know, surely you shall be as gods and, you know, surely you will not die. I think this is what the Jewish elite envisions for themselves. And so, you know, we have to be looking at all these levels. Who are the real perpetrators? Well, it's guys like George Griggs. Well, it turns out George Griggs was recruited by Alan Dulles, according to Kay Griggs. And he was, of course, our first major CIA director, 53 to 61. And he brought in a lot of people, you know, homosexual recruiting and mind control, people like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. And so, in other words, there is this hidden network of individuals who are taking all these different positions in government and running things, and they are loyal to each other, but not to the people that they supposedly represent. This is why Kay Griggs' interviews are so important. Again, she names the name. She gives the names of the generals who do the different operations. She talks about the major organizations like the Training and Doctrine Command, NATO, SHAPE, Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers Europe, which was started by Eisenhower, who was a crypto Jew. And it's the independent corporation. It's joint. It's the joint mafia military operation, New York, New Jersey, Brooklyn mob. You know, and it's the German thing, the German disease, which is this homosexuality in the military. Which, you know, the rising stars are the ones who are going to play that game, and they rise to the top, you know. And then they have their cultic-like parties. So you can look at it as a satanic death, a sex cult that runs things in America. And then our presidents like Trump and Obama and Bush and Clinton, these guys would be the puppets. These would be the mind control puppets to a large extent. I think Clinton certainly was. I think Obama was. And I know Bush was. He was a skull and bones who would have gone through all kinds of abuse and as an individual. One thing that you kind of get when you listen to this, you get a little bit of sympathy for these people because they have been brutalized themselves. You know, I mean, you have to make a psychopath. And these psychopaths have been deliberately created. And there's always these Jewish figures in the background who are setting the stage for this, you know. So, again, many layers of complexity, but there is this manipulation of individuals that create networks across the various functions of government and military and business, of course, and banking. And this is how it's done. And ultimately, it's guided by a relatively small group of Jewish Kabbalists, you know, who are existentialists, don't believe in God, believe they have to get rid of good people, and they get brownie points for doing that, she says. Because they're in a cult. So we're dealing with a cult. I you know, Tex Mars has done a lot of work on exposing the Jewish satanic cult and has come to that conclusion that it's a, you know, it's a sex cult, it's a satanic cult at the highest levels. Now, how far into the mass of world Jewry that extends, I don't know, but I think with most Jews, their first allegiance is to Israel. So you have these, you know, millions of secret agents called Sionim who are Jews who are approached then on a need-to-know basis by Mossad saying, you know, would you please render a service for your country, Israel, just like the Godfather. And according to one Mossad, ex-Mossad agent, you know, 70% will say, yeah, I'll do that. And if they're in certain positions to help, you know, in this operation or that operation, they will do so. So it is as if the world Jewry then is another component of this gigantic network and not one to be ignored because of their allegiance. They may be very nice people on a personal level, but when push comes to shove, they're going to serve Israel and not the countries they live in. What's your opinion on that, Andy? I'll throw it back to you for a second.
Well, you know, in the UK and in the US and what have you, if you don't pander to Israel and the Israel lobby, then they'll finish you off. I mean, at the moment, we've got in the UK this kvetching about the Labour Party not accepting this definition of anti-Semitism, which basically makes it illegal. It's a definition that's being adopted by certain councils and different things like that. You know, there's no legislation that they're going to arrest you or what your sentence is if you make any statements that they don't like, that they consider anti-Semitic. But they say that if you accuse Jews of controlling the media, you're anti-Semitic. If you accuse them of controlling banking or politics, you're anti-Semitic. If you say that their actions against the Palestinians are barbaric, or even if you criticise them in any way, you're anti-Semitic. And my point is, I've got now on my website, I've got a link to an article, Who Controls the News Media, Hollywood, Wall Street and the Government. And I'm just going to click on this now because it's an LA Times piece, Mainstream News, by Joel Stein. I quote this a lot, folks. I don't apologise because it's so important. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put it on the site. Headline, Who Runs Hollywood? Come On. And this was December 19th, 2008 by Joel Stein. And I'm only going to read the last paragraph for you, or rather the last line. I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them. So here we've got a Jew that admits that they are running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street and the government. And all he cares about is that they keep getting to run them. And then we have laws coming out where if we say it, it's anti-Semitic. So it just goes to show what a huge influence this group has. And this is why I bought the Synagogue of Satan out all those years ago, back in 2006, because I was sick to death of seeing these so-called alternative media personalities trying to say it was anyone but the Jew. And they don't like you to use the word Jew. That's how you're generalising. Well, they say we don't like Iran, so they're basically saying they don't like any Iranians, you know? I don't see how they can like any countries where they are behind the bombings of, you know, for their Oded Yinon plan for a greater Israel. Yeah, if you identify them as an as a group, they don't like it. And so the power that they've got is so vast, and that's why I've always said that our job is just to wake people up and prepare them for, you know, what I believe it's going to be salvation that's going to get us out of this, because they've just got too much control. And if anyone gets close to actually doing something to break their yoke of control, those people are going to be dead. It's as simple as that. So our job is to get the message out there and continue to do so. What are your thoughts, Eric?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I keep going back to this scene, you know, in the end of 1984 when O'Brien, you know, of the party is torturing Winston Smith, who is of the Ministry of Truth, but got tired of telling all the lies. And O'Brien is, you know, torturing him to confess, you know, that 2 + 2 equals whatever O'Brien wants it to equal. So it seems like the Jews are like O'Brien. They're telling us, okay, 2 + 2 equals, you know, 9 or whatever. And we're like Winston Smith on that table, being zapped with electrodes in all parts of our body. You know, and we're trying to insist that 2 + 2 equals 4. And, you know, it's really not that complicated. I mean, the 9/11 myth of Osama bin Laden, you know, and 19 Saudi goat herders, you know, fooling the most powerful and well-organized military and intelligence apparatus in the history of the world, is so preposterous that we have to really be afraid to subscribe to that. We have to be afraid of the truth. We have to be afraid of saying the truth. Likewise, you know, the war on terrorism is so ridiculous. And yet there's so many jobs now. You see, the corruption goes with the lies. And now a lot of people are roped into this lie because it's the deal with the devil. You get stuff, you know, you'll get rewarded. You'll get money, you know, for being a perpetrator at various levels. On the other hand, if you're a target, you get isolated and, you know, everybody's against you. And, hey, you don't want that to happen to you. So what they're doing then is creating this system in the United States and the world, whereby you have, you know, the perps on one side with all the rewards. And then you have the targets who are the resistors to the New World Order, who are the, you know, who are being terrorized and tortured by the perps in this system. And so that's how they intend to bring it in. It's no longer, you know, I mean, yeah, they'll play the little game nation against nation. But really, it's they're trying to take it over within each nation by going after the truth tellers, going after the honest people with this very, very sophisticated gang stalking system that I call GOG's New Gestapo, which stands for Global Organized Gang Stalking Neuro Warfare Groups, electronic slavery, electronic surveillance, slavery, targeting, tracking, terrorism, torture, and tyranny, and psyops or psychological operations. And all of that stuff that has been used in the past with the Stasi and with the FBI's COINTELPRO is now combined with the non-lethal weapons, the directed energy weapons that people can't see. You know, the frequencies and the wavelengths have been mapped out and weaponized by the military, so they can do amazing things now as a result of, you know, the last 100 years of research. And this is how they intend to take down the opposition to their New World Order. So it's very sophisticated. The mob's in on it. The military's in on it. Of course, the corporate sector. It is the military-industrial congressional complex that Eisenhower warned us about. But it's also mob, and it's also mafia, and of course with the mafia, then you have the real, you have the secret societies involved, the Masons very prominently involved, and so the same individual can have wear several hats. Like maybe a Jewish general is a Mason, and he's, you know, getting lots of kickbacks from the mob, and he's invested in some of these defense contractors, you know, like Boeing and Martin Marietta and Leidos and Lockheed Martin, etc. DynCorp, you know, you go through the, you know, the major ones, but there's thousands of them now, and government functions have been outsourced and privatized, especially since the Clinton-Gore administration, so that much of this then can be done in doing end runs around the Constitution by having it done privately. But the bottom line is that every single one of these street theater things that are performed against targeted individuals like Kay Griggs, you know, and would have been conducted by Navy SEALs and special ops guys. Everyone is a conspiracy. It's a crime. It's a felony. And they get away with it because they control the system. They control the judges, the judge advocate generals, etc. The JAGs, as Kay Griggs points out, also are Marine Corps backgrounds, and they are in a chain of command, so they cannot get outside of that system to you know, render justice, because they're in a chain of command. Again, you want to know how it works? You know, read what I've written about the Kay Griggs interviews. Listen to the interviews. Very sweet lady, very intelligent, very real, very Christian, very smart. So here's what she says. She's talking about her husband, George Griggs. My ex-husband was NATO intelligence, wet operations, psychological operations guy. Yes, George was the chief of staff for the Marine Corps, for Gray's boys, General Al Gray, the assassins who were working with General Steiner, General Jim Joy, and General Chuck Krulak. And they worked in the Nelson Rockefeller group in the Republican Party, but they're also working in the Democratic Party with people like Walt Rostow. And they're all .. Zionists. I'm afraid the Jewish Kabbalist group in Virginia Beach. She says, I'm fighting the Jewish Kabbalist group in Virginia Beach. I was nearly battered to death. I was nearly killed. I'm a totally psychologically and physically abused wife. All I wanted was for my Marine Corps husband to say, I'm sorry for doing this. But if he's got men behind him telling him to do this, they aren't going to want to let him say he's sorry. If my husband is meeting with Pastor Captain Philip Hallwiger, who's one of the gang, that says that Phil Hallwiger is a programmer and he has power over my husband. So you get into a world now of, you know, handlers. So-and-so is handling so-and-so. So George Griggs would have had a number of handlers during his career, people who make sure he's doing the right thing and not going off the tracks there, you know, the rails, whatever. And he was the handler of Oliver North of the Iran-Contra scandal in the 1980s, and was heavily involved in not only in the Iran-Contra arms for drugs scandal, you know, selling weapons and drugs, but also was involved in the Beirut bombing, which, you know, in which Israel and Ariel Sharon killed 241 Marines, and he helped set that up. So, you know, here we have a Marine Corps assassin helping, you know, Ariel Sharon kill 240 Marines in Lebanon. I mean, what kind of a system is this? This is corrupt beyond imagining. And yet there is this public perception in America that the FBI and the military are the good guys. Well, this is because the FBI and the military have so much money for propaganda. You know, the government, the military has $4 billion a year to propagandize the American people to make sure that people think they're the good guys. Well, as it turns out, this money, this $4 billion, goes into things like false flag terrorist attacks, you know, and that, of course, supports the whole thing. So you have the government carrying out these wet ops, you know, which are, you know, familiar. And it's all blamed on the Arabs, or it's blamed on a lone nut, you know. I mean, we're being duped at a scale which is really preposterous, you know. So the Americans then have to kind of just cave in intellectually and psychologically and say, okay, yes, I'll believe what's ever in the newspaper, no matter how stupid and ridiculous it is. Or they can stand up and say, hey, you know, the United States is owned by the American people. It says here in the Constitution that governments are established for the people. And when governments are no longer fulfilling the need, the right of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which used to be the pursuit of property, when governments fail to do that, it's our job to alter or abolish those governments. Well, we certainly have to stop our special relationship with Israel, because the dog is being wagged by the tail now. And we certainly have to, repeal certain nefarious acts like the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which gave this private group of bankers in Europe the power to coin our money or to make our money, you know, and loan it to us at interest, and they make it out of nothing, out of thin air. We take that power back to Congress. We repeal that act. We repeal the 1947 National Security Act, which gave the Rothschilds and the bankers their own private army, the CIA and all these other intelligence groups. We cut back this enormous $800 billion a year budget to the military. Well, look, they're abusing it. They're targeting Americans. They're killing Americans. If the U.S. military is targeting and killing Americans, which it is, should we be spending money on it? Should we give them half of our tax money? Because half of the money, you know, $800 billion a year to the military, It gives them so much power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They're beyond. They were absolutely corrupted in the 50s. And here we are 60 years later, playing catch up to try to figure out what's really going on. And I've been playing catch up. I did a career as a physical geographer. But I was watching, because I was around when Kennedy was assassinated. I was 14, and I was, you know, savvy enough or paying attention to know that this was obviously not the work of one lone nut, but obviously a much bigger conspiracy. And I've kept my eye on, you know, when I was a Vietnam War era, I was in high school and college at that time. And all of us who lived at that time who were, I think, awake knew the government was lying to us. It was a skyscraper of lies that they concocted to maintain that war. And here we get Kay Griggs saying, well, really, it was Walt Rostow and a group of Jews that were behind this war and that pushed it, and they wanted to sell the weapons and they wanted to sell the drugs. And of course, the Golden Triangle and the heroin. One third of the soldiers were addicted to heroin about 1970. And this was all going on, again, the cooperation between the military and intelligence and the mob, and the Jewish mob. And you've maybe heard the stories. I mean, they were at one point importing heroin into the United States in the body bags of deceased Vietnam veterans. 50 pounds inside one body bag. Well, now that's a level of corruption that most people can't imagine, and yet that happened in early 1970s. And I have had friends that have died of heroin overdoses because that industry was happening, and that those drugs were available to them, and they unfortunately swallowed the bait and were dead by the age of 20. So obviously the people running this, have a contempt for the people of the United States. They're not serving the United States. They're serving themselves at the expense of anybody and everybody. So it's a corrupt mob mafia system, which has to be exposed, has to be changed. And of course, that's why they've got to get their New World Order fast, because I think word's getting out, and the large segment of the American population doesn't trust government at all. They think government's the problem. I imagine it's the same in England. Is that right, Andy?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the people that are awake, it's the same. But that's the real worry, because people are spending their time watching sports and soap operas and, getting tattoos. And they're just so far away from reality, and they've been forced into this place by this evil group that are basically corrupting everybody. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I just wondered if you would like, of course this is a pre-recorded show, but if you would like to make any predictions for the future, or if it's not somewhere you really want to go, because it could be a rather bleak predictions, or how do you see ourselves overcoming this? Is it just a information war, as I alluded to earlier, so we can wake as many people up before the return, or do you see an alternative solution?
Well, okay. Thanks for that question. You perhaps know that the recent Bilderberg meeting was really all about the coming war with Iran and how Russia would be dealt with, there's some good YouTubes to that effect that I've seen anyway. And of course, in the Project for New American Century, a Jewish neoconservative think tank, scripted the 9/11 and all these wars in the Middle East to advance the greater Israel objective of the Israelis. And Iran was on that original hit list of seven countries to be invaded. And, people like John Bolton, who are the neocons, have been pushing and pushing and pushing for this, even to the point where you'd hear stories of people walking down the State Department, singing, "Bomb, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 bomb." I mean, sickos, because this could lead to World War III. Well, I think if we do get Israel or the United States bombing Iran, it will have been pre-planned. The weapons will have been pre-positioned. But there will also be a long script of events. These things are pre-scripted, and they do drills all the time. We learned that with 9/11. So I think that it's quite possible that if there is the appearance of a major conflagration, a major war, which could happen soon, then it's possible that martial law could be declared in the United States. And martial law, of course, means, stay in your house, don't come out in the night, or else, we'll shoot you. And the FEMA camps would then perhaps be activated by, putting these resistors, New World Order resistors, in them. So, the future does look bleak. The only thing that gives me hope here, Andy, is, and Kate Griggs says it a number of times, these people are cowards and bullies. And of course, that's very, very true for this particular tribe. They're really cowards, and they're on a personal level, they're really cowards and bullies. And if you stand up to a bully, they will, usually back down, because they're bullies and cowards, So I do believe God is in the equation, and I do believe in God, and I do believe that, there are certain things that are playing out, as per prophecy in the Bible and whatnot. So it would appear that, there are some very rough times ahead. I would say we're in rough times now. The people that are being targeted are being tortured worldwide and being experimented on and being mind controlled, and their brains are being mapped, so that these rich cowards and bullies can take advantage of that information for themselves. They have no allegiance to any country. They don't have, they want to destroy all the countries. So really, it is a matter of the patriots of all the countries, identifying and then expelling this group. And I say, give them Antarctica. That's my generous and maybe a sleeping bag and a cigarette lighter and week's worth of food or whatever. You can have Antarctica, but stay there, you know. Or if you keep them in this country, let them work at Walmart, but nothing else. Because they have a tendency to, through their networking, to take over the most powerful positions, in media, government, and military, et cetera, and mafia. So, I think that there's no point in throwing up our hands now. I think we have to kind of press forward with hope of divine help and quite possibly intervention.
Thank you very much, Eric. And before we go, can you give the audience your websites, please?
Yeah, well, I've got 5 websites. The ones that we've been talking about, the issues are well covered in my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website. I have another URL for that. It's called just a simple one, globalgestapo.com will get you there. Then there's 911nwo.com. The site that actually plays to my own research background as a physical geography professor is naturalclimatechange.org. Now I've gotten the .com. And then there's my website for music, which is ericcarlstrom.com. I've got 2 new CDs coming up, Andy. One's called Gospel Refrain, be out in about a month, and one is all original banjo instrumentals called All American, All Original Solo 5-String Banjo. And then the last one has to do with the water issues in the San Luis Valley where I live. It's called sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com. So those are my websites.
Thank you very much, Eric. Eric and I will be back with you again in a couple of weeks. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.